Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent.
You're listening to HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill. I'm Connie Alvarez, a partner in Verrill's Labor and Employment Practice Group, and today's host. Today, our guest is Sue Boardman, Vice President of Strategic Accounts at MassPay Solutions. Welcome, Sue.
Thank you very much for having me.
So today, Sue and I are going to talk about things that we should know and consider when we are choosing a payroll provider. And not just a payroll provider, but also something called an HCM. Sue, what's an HCM?
Human Capital Management. So payrolls come a long way over the years. And probably about 10, 15 years ago, business owners weren't looking at just getting a payroll company to do their payroll. They were actually looking for software to take all their employee data, put it in one place. It was renamed Human Capital Management. That's where HCM came from.
So what I would then do if I was in the business or if I had a need for a new payroll provider, arguably instead of me having 30 paper files with all my employee information where I would just send you, this is the amount, an HCM would be able to digitize all of that information and have it all located in one specific area. Would that be a good way to describe it?
That's an excellent way to describe it. Basically, what we're trying to do is take all the employee information from their timekeeping to their benefits to their employee file folders, anything related to the employees, and putting it with the payroll. It's a very strong engine. And with all that information in one spot, it can really make a lot of things much easier.
I would presume from an audit standpoint, and everyone's like cringing when I say audit, right? From an audit standpoint, I would presume that that makes it so much easier to find and identify information that is potentially missing when you're going through the process of either a wage and hour audit, an I-9 audit, or any other type of human resources or human capital audit.
Absolutely. An example with the I-9 audit, it's a perfect way to be able to just give them the I-9s instead of offering them the employee file folders.
So first, let's talk about if I were in the field or if I were looking to hire somebody to provide me with an HCM program that could also perform payroll functions. What are some of the questions when I sit down with someone or they're giving me their pitch? What are some of the things that I need to consider? Because I feel like oftentimes I get in a room with a salesperson and the salesperson tells me all these great and wonderful things. But the problem is I don't know what I don't know. So I would love for our listeners to recognize what they need to be asking and focusing on when they are choosing HCM and a payroll provider so that 6 months, 9 months, a year down the road, they're not sitting there in front of their computer just like screaming at it because it doesn't have the functionality that they need, even though when they were hiring someone, they didn't recognize they had that need.
Exactly. You know, it's interesting when you invited me to come on and you shared with me that this is what the topic was going to be. I'd never really given it a lot of thought of what people should be asking. It's kind of looking at it from the other way. So I spent some time this weekend and I wanted to go through and read about it from not necessarily marketing that my, you know, our competitors are putting out there, but just independent studies. And what I did find is the number one reason that people are dissatisfied, so I'm kind of going at this backwards, with the person that they chose is service.
Perfect. And it's interesting because I feel like service at this day and age, especially with millennials, oftentimes millennials are like, I don't want to talk to a person. I don't want to have a person be accessible. But what I do want is the ability to have a program that's easy to use. I saw on Facebook this weekend a girlfriend who's like, all I'm asking for in life is the ability to make a doctor's appointment, a dentist appointment, and a hair appointment without speaking to a person. I want to be able to do it all electronically. And you don't think of the changing needs or demographics and how people want to interact with a program or a service. I still think it's easiest to just jump on the phone with someone and get it taken care of, but also recognizing that your audience is expanding and their needs and desires are quite different.
Exactly. And I think what has happened with many providers, because the numbers that I found this weekend were staggering with the lack of satisfaction, it's close to 80% of people are dissatisfied 1 year after their change providers.
And 1 year isn't very long at all. I mean, no. If you think about it, that's most people do a biweekly, or very few industries right now do a weekly payroll, right? So you have a handful construction and a handful of other industries that are still at a weekly. So that's 52 periods, but mostly biweekly. So you've got 26 periods. So after 26 periods to be unhappy.
Totally disenchanted was the word that I kept on hearing more and more. And then you had mentioned how the millennials like to interact, and they want to be able to find things on the software and do it themselves and not have to talk to people. But keep in mind, we've got the new generation that has entered the workforce. They like to talk to people. And then we also have the other generations on the other side. So I think when they're looking for providers, the importance of knowing that there's a multitude of ways that information can be transferred back and forth between the customer and the provider.
And what are some of the ways that we would be looking at? So we'd be looking at probably some customer service hotline of some format, I would guess, from a telephone standpoint. I would guess like a frequently asked questions section within the program. Would that make sense?
Well, it's really interesting. I spent the first 25 years of my career working for one of the great big companies. And although they touted customer service, the way they were delivering customer service is very different than the smaller company. So where the big companies try to put the fear of God into the customer by saying, oh, they're going to blow up. The reality is, I'm not sure the great big guys can provide the level of service that the smaller can. And if you think about it, that's the only way the smaller payroll providers are going to exist, is that they can totally differentiate themselves with service.
I think there's something definitely about knowing your representative, knowing the person who's in charge of your account, who can provide you with services, and even the ability to reach out to them and say, this is what my need is. How can we make this work for me, right? And having, whether it's an evolving program or something that truly can be something that works for your industry and what your needs are, because you and I have discussed this in the past. I mean, the needs of home health care aides are quite different from those of the construction industry versus an accountant versus anyone who is billing out a client based off of the time and the hours worked, where potentially you want the software to be able to specify who received the services so that you could then streamline that into your accounting programs.
Absolutely. And the other thing that I found very interesting, and almost everybody cited it, is the need to make sure that the person that you're getting the software from has a very strong HR influence there. So they're aware of the things that are coming down the pike and when different taxes need to be implemented and how that's going to happen, to be able to not only educate their clients, but be able to have them navigate through what's best for them. So over 38% of businesses that had HCM software stated that they wished that the HCM software provider had a stronger understanding of human resources and the needs and the state and federal labor laws.
So in large part, in addition to that customer service, it's not just the availability of an agent or someone who can respond to questions regarding the technological aspects of the payroll system itself, how to enter the data, why the data is coming in wrong, but also who can provide you with a much more in-depth discussion about why changes are taking effect or what people need to do to be proactive with regards to some of these changes in law.
Proactive was stated over and over again, because most companies are going to be there to answer your question. But it's how do you said it earlier, I don't know what I don't know. So to have a provider that's proactive and is letting you know what you need to be thinking about and what we need to be doing next is very important to not be part of that group that's so dissatisfied 1 year in.
And I think it's even tougher, especially for small employers. And I hear this a lot. Small employers who maybe don't have a full-time dedicated HR individual. And in my mind, it's almost like, oh my gosh, you need to have this person. But if you only have 7-10 people, then of course you're probably not going to be able to have one person who's dedicated only to HR. Most likely they're also your bookkeeper or they're doing some type of operational function, which means that they don't have all the time in the world to be keeping up to date on best practices from a human relations standpoint, on changes in federal, state, local law. And at this point in time, it's changing on a daily basis. And even professionals who it is their full-time job are having trouble staying on top of it. So to expect somebody who has a multitude of functions within your organization to be able to stay on top of something like that is just honestly unreasonable. And that's not a term that I use quite often.
Yeah, it is one area that we're finding more and more people interested in making sure that they're following best HR practices. I think, I've been in the industry, like I mentioned, 30 years, and things have changed drastically. That everybody understands that a happy employee is a more productive employee, and your customers end up getting better service. So people are paying attention to HR, but like you said, it is cost prohibitive. You know, for less than 50 employees to have one HR professional on staff becomes cost prohibitive. So a lot are looking to find a good way to outsource that.
So when I talk to clients, a lot of times when I ask them who they're using as a payroll provider, they'll tell me who it is, and it's usually a big name company, and I'll ask why, and they'll say, well, because we have employees in multiple states. So there seems to be this belief that if you're located in multiple states, if you have operations in a multitude of places, that going with the big guys is the only option. Would you agree with that? Or
no, absolutely not. And what you find is some of the smaller providers have a platform that is as big as far as users are concerned. It's that it's privately owned and they're using that software. So an example would be MassPay. We're paying employees in 45 states. So that is not a problem. It is true that most of our businesses have headquarters here in New England, Maine, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, but we have plenty of businesses that are even headquartered outside of New England.
So with regards to service, and I want to keep on this for a little while longer without it seeming like I'm beating a dead horse. But what about training? I mean, oftentimes I use a number of different programs, whether it's for document review or it's affirmative action plans or those type of things. And one of the things that I find most necessary is training before I start using the program, because otherwise I come into the situation just being so frustrated anyways. What should you be asking about training or availability of training when you're interviewing people?
Right. Absolutely. Most providers are going to supply you with training when you first come on to the platform. And that's included in what you pay in your implementation fee. I think it would be a very good question to ask how much training that you'll be provided and how many different people that you'll be able to train and how that's facilitated. And some people don't learn in the first training. So I would want to know that there's support at any time, or perhaps your controller changes. So with a new person in that role, can that person be retrained? So I'd want to know that the company has that all set up to make that available. I also think it's important. It's like drinking water from a fire hose.
Absolutely.
When you start putting all this employee data into one place. So I would want to know that training could go on over a long period of time. So you could take a piece, learn it, take a piece, learn it, instead of trying to get it all or think that you had to do it all.
I think
within a three-month period.
It's a really good point, because everyone learns in a different way, with a different style, at a different speed, and keeping that at top of mind, especially if you're the decision maker but may not be the only person using that program, is so important. Well, you're listening to HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBRadio.com. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsinme.com has been matching main employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsInME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsInME.com. That's JobsInME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour, and our guest today is Sue Boardman, and we are talking about the questions you should be asking when you are choosing your payroll provider. Earlier in the segment, we were talking about service as being the number one thing that individuals should focus on when they are interviewing a potential payroll provider, or the new term I just learned, an HCM provider, so a human capital management provider. I'm guessing that service is going to flow its way through our conversation a lot more, but let's talk about some other things that we really should be focusing on when we are in that initial meeting, or maybe it's not the initial meeting. Maybe we've windled it down and we're at the end stages and trying to determine who we want to use. What are some other things we should be looking at?
Well, obviously, you're going to look at the technology that's being offered, and there's different components in technology that you're going to want to make sure that you have, and that should be determined when someone comes in. They should be doing a thorough analysis of what you're currently doing and where you'd like to make and create efficiencies.
Would you recommend that an employer or a company sit down before they even meet with a payroll provider and list what they want, what their wants are, in order to make sure that those things can be met? Because I find oftentimes I'll sit down and I'll be like, oh, something bright and shiny. And that's what captivates me. And that's what's sold to me. And then I forget about all of my other needs, kind of generally, because all of a sudden I'm like, oh, that's so cool. Who would have guessed that we could have done something like that? And then I forget of some of my more basic needs, which then once I start using the program, I'm like, oh, this isn't as easy as that shiny thing was.
Right, right. No, I think that's a great idea. And I do think most people are coming into those meetings a lot more educated. You know, they're looking into things themselves. And I think across the board, as consumers, we're just more educated with everything at our fingertips. But the one thing when it comes to technology that I think is important and doesn't always happen is they need to get all the parties at the table. And when we talked about human capital management, by virtue of the fact exactly what it is, it, you know, taking all the employees' data and putting it in one place, it's going to affect different departments at your business. And what I mean by that is the person handling the payroll might be very different than the person administering the benefits, might be very different from the person handling the compliance. So all the people that are going to be affected by this software and all this employee data should be looking at it to make sure that their needs are being met.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've always looked at this in a non-technological standpoint. Specifically, what I run into all the time is an operations crew or an operations manager who signs a contract for business, and that contract actually has some HR elements into it, whether it's a reporting requirement, whether or not it's a change in payroll, just something that is very specifically going to affect how we treat or interact with our employees, and that information's not communicated to the right parties. The contract signed, everyone goes on their merry way, until something goes wrong and we're looking at the contract and realize that we're out of compliance with certain terms. Now, when we are kind of looking at that technology, some of the things that immediately come to my mind would be checking in with our operations crew if we do have to do plant or job codes within it. Mm-hmm. I would presume that's something that you would want to be able to either input or make sure that you are able to appropriately code.
Absolutely. And that's something pretty elementary. That should be no problem at all, to carry over the codes so you can continue to do your job costing or labor distribution.
What would be some other areas in which you're going to be able to look for that integration from an HCM standpoint?
Sure. The one thing I think is important to look at is how long is that data available, the employee information. And it's certainly much easier on the user of this information if they don't need to go into an archive situation to get it, mm-hmm. if it's right there readily available. So a software that allows to track all the years that they've been on that software with all the employee data. And then the next thing would be the ability to report over years. So perhaps your fiscal year doesn't mirror a calendar year, and to be able to pull your reports from May 1st to May 1st and not have to do everything in the calendar.
Absolutely. I mean, that's an interesting concept. And not just that, but I presume also your availability or the ability to perform some EEO-1 functions, or if you have to have an affirmative action plan, the accessibility to that data is going to be so important for you to quickly or efficiently provide that data to whoever creates your affirmative action program, whether or not it's a consultant or an attorney.
Well, when the vendors are coming in that you're looking at, certainly if you're over 90 employees, they should know enough to ask you how you're handling the EEO reporting and the affirmative action. And it would be my recommendation to actually see their reports. They should be able to show you a sample of what they're being able to do so you could feel comfortable that they could take over the responsibility for that.
And I think it's important, too, for us to be looking long-term. So even if we don't have 90 employees, let's say we have 70, but our five-year plan involves a growth, you know, of 25% to 40%, right? You're going to want to be considering some of these aspects, because while you may not have EEO-1 reporting requirements now, if in 3 years you're going to, do you really want to change providers in 3 years on a growth upswing where you likely are then hiring more people and operationally with hope you're busier than to have this foundation laid at the beginning stages?
Right, absolutely. And, you know, we look at that in many ways. So if you're going to be crossing the 50 employee threshold in the next year, two, three, four, with the additional reporting responsibilities. So the person that you're talking to and is doing the discovery meeting, I would be looking to see that they truly understood your requirements as a business owner for reporting and what kind of things that you're going to need in the system based on your size.
So two terms that I've heard a lot when we're talking about HCMs is and payroll provider kind of generally in this way is embedded versus integrated. And what do those concepts mean, or why are they important when we're talking about this topic?
Sure. So what has happened with payroll moving to HCM is a lot of the payroll companies went and bought a timekeeping system, went and bought a benefits administration system, went and bought an HRIS system, and integrated them. So they're all integrated. There are some providers, not many, that went and built that system totally embedded. So you can only imagine having it truly all one system is ultimately going to be a better experience, not only for the person that's using it, doing the payroll processing, like you mentioned, 26 or 52 times a year, but more importantly, the most important person, the employees. So being able to have it embedded is going to allow for one single sign-on. So they're not going to have to sign into their timekeeping and then sign into their payroll. They're not going to have to sign in something else for their benefits enrollment. So we want to make the employee experience as thoughtful and as resourceful as we can for them.
Absolutely. I mean, just thinking about having all those passwords with IT yelling not to have sticky notes sitting everywhere and not to be sharing this information, and just generally all of us listening know the importance of maintaining the security of all of those functions, to then have to be remembering four or five passwords in order to do one task
right.
becomes absolutely a nightmare. Or let's go back to the service discussion generally. The last thing I think I would want to do is to be hitting my head against the wall on an issue, to call the service department or to text the service department or email, and for it to be a problem with one of the other components. So
exactly.
One of the quote-unquote integrated components that right. isn't working, and that individual maybe not being able to provide a solution and just saying we're working on it.
Right. So if the businesses can find software and HCM software that's truly embedded with all those components, they're going to have a much better user experience.
Let's talk about some of the other general terms that we hear when we're talking about, and I'm going to use the term HCMs, right? So if you're just joining us right now, we are talking about choosing a payroll provider or an HCM or human capital management provider. And we're talking to Sue Boardman, the Vice President of Strategic Accounts at MassPay Solutions. And right now, we're talking a little bit more about the technology that you're going to want to look for, simultaneously talking about the most important aspect of choosing a payroll provider, which is service. So when I'm talking about service, sometimes I feel as though I don't want to ask the question because I'm going to sound silly that I don't know what some of these terms are. So
sure.
Let's put some of these terms out there so that
okay.
people won't feel silly
sure.
and know that. Ask whatever question you want, but what is a API?
Oh, an API is the ability to open up a software and create a bridge. So it's a bridge that's a 360 integration, and both softwares are ability to accept the information going back and forth.
Okay, so now would that be happening with an integrated or an embedded system or both?
It would, APIs would be the integration.
Okay, so when they start talking about a program being integrated and then they start using the API, they're talking about the ability to exchange the information between the integrated programs. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And you'll even find some embedded software where most of the software is totally embedded that will have APIs for best in class. So they might be able to communicate with the best 401k providers, or they might be able to communicate with the best applicant tracking or the best expense reporting. So APIs can be part of an embedded solution also, but to have the whole system, nothing but bridges with integration, probably will not be the best user experience.
Are there other kind of very industry-specific terms or phrases that go with HCM or payroll processing that users should kind of just have a handle on or understand so that when they get into this meeting, they're not confused or taken aback by some of these terms or phrases? I mean, honestly, we're always talking about FMLA and the ADA and USERRA and all of these horrible acronyms, which are really difficult. And I was having a discussion with someone last week, and I said, well, it's, you know, USERRA. And they just stared at me blankly. I said, USERRA, and I went to say what the acronym was. I was like, veterans. It deals with veterans, because you get to this place where all of a sudden, yes, I knew what I was talking about, but I couldn't recall what the acronym was for, which then I think decreases the usability of these acronyms.
Absolutely. And this industry, between the payroll industry and the HR industry, is absolutely riddled with all the acronyms. We really try, because the last thing I never want the person sitting across from me to feel like I'm making them feel like they're not smart, because they're very smart. They're the business owner. But the idea of instead of using acronyms, instead of the ACA, just say, you know, with the Affordable Care Act reporting, and they know what I'm talking about. There's no reason to make someone feel uncomfortable with that.
And if you are feeling uncomfortable in the midst of the sales pitch or the discussion, I mean, let's remind everyone, you got a number of options. Tell them that you don't understand. They're there to educate you and hopefully provide a solution. So if in that sales pitch, they don't seem to be solution orientated, I would presume they're not going to be the right person for you. I know for sure they wouldn't be the right person for me, because I spend all day long identifying problems and helping people create solutions. But if someone's not working with me to help create a solution, then I don't see the relationship working out great in the long term.
Right. And if they're not teaching and training from the start, and if that's not the culture of the company, that's, you're going to see that too. When you brought that up, I was like, yeah.
That's a good point. And that goes back to that service element. If you're just getting a pitch and you're not getting that service and you're not getting the exchange of information and ideas and their desire to find out more about what your needs are, then again, I think that's another really key element to this, that people want to realize or recognize that this might not be the HCM for them, especially are they going to be responsive to the needs? Are they going to be responsive to changing governmental requirements? Are they going to be responsive to changing reporting requirements?
I think, you know, what you're talking about, if I were looking for an HCM provider, obviously I know who I'd go with. But my point is, if I was going to give that recommendation, if somebody wasn't going to give me one point of contact, I'd move on.
That's a really good point.
If I had to call in, retell my story and retell who I am with something that's so important that it touches your whole employee staff, you know, every other week, and it's somebody's primary job, 40, 50 hours a week, dealing with employee data in your HR / controller payroll person's responsibility, and they don't have one person that knows who they are, I think I'd keep on looking.
I agree. This is Tani Alvarez, and we are talking to Sue Boardman, Vice President of Strategic Accounts at MassPay Solutions. We're going to take a quick break, but you're listening to HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsinme.com has been matching main employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their QuickPost product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobsinme to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsinme.com. That's jobsinme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Best paints for the job site are at the Home Depot, specifically new Glidden Diamond Paint and Primer. It starts at only $23.98 a gallon. It's specially formulated to spray easier and cover walls faster, a lot faster. So you're done and on to the next job faster. Better paint means better jobs. New Glidden Diamond Paint and Primer starting at just $23.98 a gallon. You'll only find it in one place, the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only.
Life's never perfect, but as realtors, we know living it in the perfect place can make a big difference.
Imagine
hiding from your screeching children in that spacious walk-in closet, watching the neighbor's dog poop on the freshly sodded grass you negotiated during closing, dropping your cell phone in the toilet of the spa-like five-piece bathroom again. So get the perfect place to house all of life's imperfections. Get Realtor. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
I'm Connie Alvarez, and we're back. This is HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBRadio.com. Today, our guest is Sue Boardman, Vice President of Strategic Accounts at MassPay Solutions. And we've been talking about the things that people should be considering when they are interviewing or considering changing their payroll provider or their HCM. And I think one of the big things that we have come to realize is it doesn't make sense to just have a payroll provider anymore. Having an HCM or a human capital management provider is a large element of all of this because it's going to help you maintain accuracy, keep you up to date on changes in laws, and generally make it easier for you to have all of your programs talking to each other and keeping track of things. In the last segment, we just talked about integrated versus embedded products and the importance of the technology. I'd like to move on to two other elements that I think are important, and I know everyone's laughing because they are like, Tawny, you're going to talk about costs sometime soon? But let's do it. Let's talk about user interface and cost and the importance that people place on that. And I would presume a lot of times people just look at you and say, how much is it going to cost me?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we'll start with cost. Cost is all over the map. All over the place. And I think what's important when you're looking at cost, pay for what you're going to use. So if you're an employer that's not offering health insurance or you're not keeping track of time in a system where everybody's salaried for some reason,
which I
would question that in itself. But
yeah, me too. I'm like Department of Labor wage and hour audit coming through and you've only got salaried exempt employees. We got a lot of discussing to do. But maybe I haven't come across one that's appropriately set up that way yet.
Yeah,
but
no.
But let's hypothetically yes. pretend that
so hypothetically, salaried. If you weren't using that or you weren't going to use their onboarding tool because you've been 28 employees for the last 6 years, nobody's left, you haven't had any turnover, and you're not hiring. So don't pay for things you're not going to use. So be very leery of when you're being pushed into packages when you're looking at pricing. Figure out what your company needs today, understand what you can add to it, and pay for what you're using today. The costs on the HCM can run you anywhere from $10 to $40 or $50, depending on the software. It's kind of like saying, can you tell me what the cost of a car is? You know, are you okay with the Chevy truck or are you looking to drive the self-driving car?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. And I think that's an important thing is if you expect or want a pitch on a number in the first 10 minutes of the presentation, again, I have concerns about who's giving your pitch because they don't understand what your need is. And maybe they can give you a ballpark estimate of, you know, our prices range between this and that, right? But without knowing what your needs are and what we can provide for you, I'm not going to sell you the Jaguar when you do great with a Chevy.
Right. In preparation for today, I had mentioned this in the very beginning. I spent some time reading some independent studies on what were people unhappy with after choosing their HCM provider. And oddly enough, cost is never it. So it's never that I paid too much. It was all the other things that came into play. So cost is important. It shouldn't be out of what you're using. It should have a price that matches. But that should not be the determining factor on picking this. Keep in mind, your employees are your most expensive resource, and this is the tool that you're going to use to communicate with them and pay them.
One of the other aspects of it, and it touches back on something we discussed earlier in the segment, is training. And the cost of training, if there is. And think about the fact that depending on your organization, how many people need to know how to use this program? At least two. I promise you'd never just train one person, because I promise that person's going to get sick or they're going to leave your organization. And then you're up a creek with a program that nobody knows how to use, and the frustrations are just going to continue to mount. But will there be additional costs for training? How often can you do training? If the program changes or evolves, will there be free training, free programs? What generally are we going to be able to provide to the employees or the company that gets this training? Are we going to be able to sit down once a year with individuals and say, these are the new aspects of the program, this is what you need to know? Or even, what are you struggling with right now and how can we make it more efficient or effective, I think is a big part of it. So training fees, I would guess, is something you're going to want to at least find out if there are additional costs associated with that. What other types of fees potentially could there be that I would be unaware of?
So I want to address training fees for a minute. You know, this is where, you know, I truly believe that instead of choosing a vendor, you choose a trusted partner. And a trusted partner isn't going to charge you for additional training because they want to be in a partnership with you and make sure that you're maximizing the capabilities of the software that you have. And, you know, you address turnover where you need to train additional people to make sure. There shouldn't be a cost for that. But if you think about it, this technology that we're using, this software that we're using, is always evolving. So I would hope that when you're looking at the vendor that you're choosing, they have a whole system set up to always be training because that software should always be evolving. I can't tell you the amount of times I've walked into a business where I know the platform they're on has the capability of doing the things they say they need, but no one from that business has spent any time updating them. So I would want to hear, you know, what's their method to be able to keep the training ongoing and the information flowing. And like I said, I think that's more of a trusted advisor relationship than a vendor relationship.
That's a really, really good point. I like the way you framed the whole issue generally, because I think all of us, I mean, let's just look at the iPhone, like, or a cell phone in general. I think everyone's cell phone can do a host of things that we're not using it for, whether it's because we don't have the need, we don't have the desire, or we just don't have the patience to learn.
Right.
So that cost, are there any other hidden fees that I should be thinking about? And I say hidden in part because I am unknowledgeable about what they potentially could be. So what other fees could I be looking at?
The one fee that really shook me up quite a bit was a few years back, businesses were required to do Affordable Care Act filings, and a lot of providers really took advantage of that. That was not a form that was going to be easily populated at the business, and the providers really put very large fees on that. That would have been very concerning to me. But the other fees that they need to look at, they might not have garnishments right now, but what do they charge for something like that, and how is that facilitated, and do they have options? The year-end processing fees, what are you charging for the W-2s and, you know, your ACA form, the Affordable Care Act forms that you have? So I'd be looking at fees like that, and then just ask them, is there anything additional that I could be paying for? For instance, perhaps taking the information over to a general ledger. Do you charge for that? Do you charge for lost checks? Do you charge for lost W-2s? So on and so forth.
Those are all really good questions that I don't think I would have considered. And from there, let's go into the user interface. I mean, does it look pretty? I mean, I guess that's part of the question. But what are other aspects of interfacing am I going to want to be cognizant of and not just visually appealing?
Right. I'd be careful of falling in love with the visual. And this is why, when it comes to human capital management software, they're all the same. But one little thing. And everybody else will get that one little thing in 3 weeks. And then what they didn't have, everybody else will get in another 3 weeks. The technology and the software are the same, with the exception of the integrated versus the embedded for the employee experience. So be careful falling in love with the pretty picture, because that's not going to be the thing that makes you happy 6 months, a year down the road.
Perfect. Well, we are speaking to Sue Boardman, Vice President of Strategic Accounts at MassPay Solutions. You're listening to HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBRadio.com. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs in ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsinme.com. That's jobsinme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis, as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
You're listening to HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill. I'm Tani Alvarez, and today our guest is Sue Boardman, Vice President of Strategic Accounts at MassPay Solutions. And we've been discussing the important things one should consider when choosing an HCM, a human capital management software, and a payroll provider. We've talked a lot about service. We've talked about technology and integrated versus embedded technology. We've talked about cost, cha-ching, cha-ching, and we've talked about user interface. Sue, if you had one piece of advice that you could provide our listeners with kind of moving forward, what should be at top of mind before one of these meetings, what would that piece of advice be?
I think the most important thing, because the things you alluded to before, you know, the ever-changing state and federal labor laws and the requirements of data and collecting it and accuracy, I think the most important thing is to make sure that who's ever providing the software, that they are HR professionals who provide a great software, not a software company that can tell you how to recreate a form. Although most of the clients are going to have someone working in the HR field in that business, or their controller or their CFO is handling that, for them to have a resource that is able to help them, guide them through any new or pending legislation that is going to affect the paying of their employees, I think is imperative.
I agree, and it's interesting because this, as you were telling me this, my mind kept going to that one question, and I returned to first grade, right, where you have your list of who, what, when, where, how, and why. And that why question is something that I consider all the time. Why would a client choose me over someone else? Why would I solve this problem in this way as opposed to another? Why do I need to file this? And if you have a payroll or an HCM company that isn't able to explain to you the why you need to be taking these steps internally, why you need to be collecting this data, why the forms need to be completed in this way at this time, you're really not going to be able to figure out the best way for you to accomplish it at your organization because you don't have that background understanding. specifically, and let's do a real world scenario. I mean, everyone says, why would we have bills or laws that would not permit us to ask about previous pay of employees, mm-hmm. right? That's a big thing right now is companies and employers not being able to ask about previous rates of pay. Why? Because there's a belief that by asking about that information, it perpetuates an inequality in pay rates, right? And to be able to go to someone like MassPay and the professionals that you guys have on your team and say, why can't I do this anymore, mm-hmm. is so important.
Exactly.
And during the course of a meeting with a vendor, I mean, for them to be able to not just explain the programs or the technology they have, but why it's set up the way it is, I think is truly important.
Mm-hmm.
What other aspects of that should people be really kind of focused on when they're doing that why? Like, why is it set up in this format? Why is it embedded versus integrated? I mean, I keep coming back to that concept and thinking about having five IDs and passwords sitting there. Is that a big aspect of this?
Absolutely. MassPay has our why. We believe people make the difference. And so we believe our customers make the difference, and we believe their employees make the difference in their business. So our why is to make sure that their employees get the very best experience. So single sign-on just makes perfect sense in that, right? But more importantly, that their support staff that's using this software have people looking out for them, have their back, giving them the heads up on what's coming, what needs to be done, so they're never doing anything in the 11th hour. The changes, both state and federal, are coming fast and furious. Whole bunch of things going on with paid family medical leave acts that are affecting payroll. So we just want to make sure that you stay out in front. And I truly believe when you choose a vendor, you don't want a vendor, you want a trusted partner, and you don't want a software company, you want an HR company that has great software.
And that's Sue Boardman, Vice President of Strategic Accounts at MassPay Solutions. Thank you so much, Sue, for your time today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and WLOBradio.com.
And now your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by VeralDana.com.
I learned something very interesting yesterday, and now I will share it with you. Hi, I'm Ben Ford from Verrill's Labor and Employment Practice Group with your tip of the week. The human resource profession is becoming more and more tech-dependent. Think about how many policies you have that concern technology. If you're in a company that hands out company cell phones, there is one more policy you need. You need a policy that states that the company owns and can access at any time the data stored on the company phone, and the employee is not to change the access code unless they have permission. Company-owned cell phones can often be gold mines of evidence in wrongful termination cases, and now they can be remotely wiped. So here's what I learned from our e-paralegal yesterday. If you confiscate a company-owned cell phone, immediately put it in an airplane mode and pull the SIM card. If you suspect the phone contains evidence, have the data and the SIM card imaged before reassigning it. Do you have a cell phone issue? Call Verrill's Labor and Employment Practice Group.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by VerrillDana.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.